Woo was right, man. Episode number one of the Nerd Hoarders podcast. I'm Juan. You are?
I'm Dave.
Dave, my brother from another mother. From where are you from, dude?
I'm from all the way in the UK.
In the UK. Right now, we are doing this podcast from my office / game room. Dave, I got to tell you something right off the back. This is really therapeutic to me because I am a married man with two children who doesn't have a lot of people to talk to about this stuff. So I love having you here, and thank you for doing this with me.
Absolutely. Like, thank you as well. I'm in a similar position. I'm married, no kids, but
not yet.
Also sort of newly moved to this area, so I don't know too many people. So it's great to have like this opportunity to talk and yap away about all the stuff that we love.
Yeah, this banter, man, is really going to help because I can talk to my wife all day until I'm blue in the face and she just kind of stares at me most times. Not that she doesn't like it, that it's not really what she's into. She has her things, I have my things, which is fair.
Yeah.
So I don't expect her to be on board with all my crazy collecting habits and fandoms and things like that.
Yeah, I feel that. It's a similar situation. I get super excited about certain things. My wife's not as sort of into all the stuff that I am. So it's awesome to have you to come and sort of yab away about all the cool stuff that we like. It's gonna be awesome.
I appreciate it. Yeah, like I have so much pent up in there. Like I just want to get out, and it's really gonna be nice, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much for us to talk about, so many topics that we will get into. So
a little bit about myself. Like I said, I'm Juan. I am 42, married, two children. I have a 2-year-old and a 9-year-old. I am an educator by trade. I educate certain people. I'm not going to go into too much detail about, but that's what I do all day. I work from home. I'm about 90% at home, 10% in the office. So it makes it nice. And I get to work in here all day. So I'm surrounded by all my stuff, you know, so, which is great. Let's see here. My phone locked up in me where I got my notes. There we go. What do I like, Dave? I like many things. I love video games. It's pretty obvious. I love Amiibos.
Yeah, same.
The wall of Amiibo behind me. I think Amiibos are still my biggest thing. Like, I collect a lot of different things, but Amiibos by far are it.
Yeah, definitely at the top of your collection list, I'd say.
Absolutely. They have really slowed down lately as releases, so we don't get them as often. The last ones that come out were the Splatoon ones, but those are come and gone, so we just have to wait. Who knows? They might die. They are reprinting a bunch, so I don't know if I want to go deep into that rabbit hole with like first and second print Amiibos.
Mm.
I'm already running out of room as it is. So.
Yeah, I was going to say it's going to get sort of even more crazy than it already is if you start getting into sort of second prints and that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's quite the collection.
I think my wife would absolutely murder me if I tried to collect anything else. She already told me one major collecting habit at a time. I don't listen. I just buy what I want anyways.
As I said, I definitely think that was never implemented.
What about you, good sir? What do you like?
So obviously, similarly, I'm very big into games. We share a lot of interests in games, and sort of especially on the like Nintendo. I'm not such an Amiibo collector myself, but I do love the Amiibos and. Well, I really appreciate Juan's collection of Amiibos. But yeah, so I'm more like enjoying my games. I primarily play like PC and Nintendo Switch and my primary sort of gaming consoles, I guess. Consoles. But I also like I have a PS4 and an Xbox One. Enjoy both of those as well. So like bit of an all-rounder, but like primarily a lot of my gaming is done on PC and Nintendo Switch.
And that's what I love about us is I don't PC game at all, and you do, and I think we can make a good mixture of console and PC game. And I think our age differences really kind of add some diversity there too, because mm-hmm. you're my friend, but I'm 42 years old and you're
I'm 28.
You're 28. There's
quite a
jump, and I'll be 43 next month. So I've been around for a little while, and you're pretty much just a baby. You're still getting started, you know? So
yeah, it's definitely two, like, I like it because it's two, not only two age perspectives, but two different, like, sort of directions. Like, you're much more of a console player, don't really PC game, whereas I'm more of a PC gamer with a little bit of consoles. So you got sort of both those perspectives, as well as like the sort of difference in age as well, should make some interesting dialogue.
And what you guys can't see is we're being joined today by Thoros the Wonder Chihuahua. He's over here trying to bug Dave.
Yeah, he's
yeah, hi Thoros.
You're on the pod, buddy.
You're on the pod, bud. Pod number one.
You're on the first episode.
So he's just trying to get some love from Dave. He's a good boy.
He's getting some attention.
He has a bed in here, but he refuses to go lay in it. But he might hear in a sec.
Let's see.
Alrighty, sir. So, again, what I hope to get from this pod, man, is just get to talk to a good buddy of mine every other week, once a month, whatever it may be, even sooner. And just kind of get to spill my guts and talk about things. Like I said, this therapeutic talk.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a great opportunity, like, for us to catch up regularly, hang out, and get to talk about all the different stuff that we like both share an interest in, and also like get into some like discussions and some debates about various different things, games, not just games, but like shows, movies.
Absolutely, like, dude, because we love all that stuff.
Yeah, so like it's just kind of us essentially dumping our nerd brains out for like however long, but it's going to be like awesome to get to talk to someone about it and get to see those like differing perspectives and opinions.
Absolutely. So what I'm looking forward to too is you asking me and me asking you details on things, because I'll go tell my wife, yeah, I'm gonna go up to my office and play something, and she'll ask me how to go. I'm like, it's fun. She's like, okay.
Yeah.
She want to ask me how the controls, is music good, how's the story, you know, things like that. So it'll be...
The thing. It'll be awesome to get into those conversations about the more, like, the niche details, like... Because I'm the same, like, I'll go sit at the PC or play games or whatever, and my wife's like, oh, you have a good time playing games? And, like, yeah, it was good. Like, it's just... I'm just going to play some games, like, not really much beyond that. But, yeah, it'll be awesome to, like, sort of get into the more details about... So like, say, like, storylines, gameplay, controls, like, plot lines for shows and movies and stuff like all that kind of stuff.
I think we have a Game of Thrones special plan for the next one, and we're gonna get down to that, because...
That's gonna be a...
I have a lot to say.
I was gonna say, we both love Game of Thrones. When we started talking about the pod, we knew that was definitely going to be an episode, because we both have like some opinions and some thoughts about the show in general and how it ended, how it went. So that's going to be a real fun one for us to get Absolutely. Like really dig deep into.
I'm very passionate about it. Even it's been years now since the show ended, and I still got a burning feeling in my soul right now every time I think about it. So
yeah,
it's a lingering.
That's going to be a real awesome episode and sort of discussion to get into, hear those thoughts.
Absolutely. So the next thing I think we would talk about is what we are, like, what's your, let me rephrase that really quick. What do you love, Dave? Like, what are you really into, if you can choose a few different things?
So it's a great question. At the moment, so my interests, like, with regards to like sort of games, shows, all that sort of nerdy stuff, has like changed and developed over the years. I used to be quite big into like multiplayer, like first person shooter games. I played a lot of Overwatch back in the days when it was Overwatch 1 before Overwatch 2 came out. These days I've sort of transitioned more to, I really like narrative driven story based games, like single player games, stuff like games I played recently, like Horizon Zero Dawn, The Last of Us series, which we'll discuss more because we share some differing opinions on that game, but like the story driven, more linear sort of games has been what I've really been interested in and been playing a lot of more recently. So that's why, like, what I really love at the moment, but also like range of games and stuff, like throughout, like say I went through a phase of like multiplayer games. There's a few games that I absolutely love just for the fact of like playing them with friends, as opposed to like they're not games I'd really touch on my own, but if like I have a couple of friends that play those games, and it's fun to get together and play with other people. So like have a lot of ranging interests, but like more recently things have become sort of those more story driven games.
Absolutely, yeah, that's my thing. I don't have anything against multiplayer games, but I wouldn't play one sitting down by myself.
Yeah, I have
to be with my brother or a friend or something to play those things.
And that's sort of like what happened with me, because I did used to really enjoy multiplayer games, and I do still like really enjoy playing them with other people. But these days, like whereas I used to play them on my own, like these days I just don't have the same interest. Like I have nothing against multiplayer games, they're great, but I just can't sit down and play them on my own anymore. Like I just don't get the same like enjoyment that I used to out of it.
I absolutely agree. I love those really, really, really long story driven games. Like I love Assassin's Creed. I don't care what anyone says. I'm still looking forward to the next one. Samurai got pushed back. I got really sad. Amazon canceled my pre-order. But like Valhalla
was amazing. Still a game I still need to finish.
My daughter, one of her middle names is named after a character from Valhalla, you know. My wife was pregnant during that time, and I played it on the PS4, and she'd be upstairs sleeping like pregnant ladies do, and I'd be downstairs playing on the PS4, I love games like Resident Evil. I love Resident Evil. That's my thing. Number 4, GameCube, the original, is my favorite one. Although Resident Evil 2 probably ranks up there pretty good. Skyrim, like the Elder Scrolls series. This was really obnoxious, long, open world, like RPG, like first person games, like Fallout.
Yeah, exactly. Like anything like that has sort of like an open world aspect and like a lot to do. Like,
yes.
If I have a world to explore and like a general like sort of main goal, but like multiple different paths I can take and stuff that I can do, like that's it. I'm lost for days. Like, it's great.
And the way I look at it too is games are so expensive. Like, give me a lot to do and get my money's worth.
Right? Yeah.
How long am I going to be playing this? It has to be interesting too. You can put a bunch of crap in a game, but if it's not fun or interesting, like,
exactly.
I'm not going to come back to it, you know?
And that's the thing, is like, that's really what separates things for me these days, is like, obviously games are getting more expensive. So like, when I look at a game, I really have to think I'm going to get like the money worth out of playing it. So like, if I'm not going to be putting a bunch of hours into the game, it's not worth it. So like anything that's like long story driven, like with lots to do, lots to see, and like sort of lots of different places to explore, like I generally know I'm gonna get what I want out of that kind of game. So like I gravitate towards those games these days, as opposed to like games that are like shorter or don't have that sort of element to them, because I love a game that I can just sit down and just play and play and play and keep coming back to.
Oh, dude, like, I just got done playing God of War Ragnarok not too long ago. We can discuss that later, but great game. Some of the stuff you go back to is a little difficult, and for me, I'm old, I can't stay past 10:30 anymore, so, like, you have to give it to me. If it's too difficult, I'm not going to come back to it, because I don't have the energy like I used to kind of stay up and try and beat it, you know?
So, yeah.
Like, I don't mind some difficulty in a game, but at the same time, don't make it so hard where, like, I just kind of lose interest in it, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's another good distinction to make for me when it comes to those games. It's like, I do like a challenge, but I don't like to beat my head against the wall trying to get past the part. And like, it's also a reason why I've sort of kind of strayed away from the games like Dark Souls and such like, because like they look like really fun games, but I don't necessarily have the time or the want to keep repeating the same part over and over again, because it's difficult and like you've got to keep doing it until you get it. Like I want to progress, I want to see the story and whatnot, so like I like a challenge, but it can't be too difficult, otherwise I won't pick it up, we'll come back to it.
Like I have them, I have yet to play them. That's another thing we can talk about later too, is for collecting reasons, are we buying things just to buy them, or are we ever going to play them? And that's,
I think that's a good topic that we'll definitely come back to.
I think this room is a monument to that exact topic. That
question.
And we're going to discuss something else at that point too, because I feel like the older I get, like the way I collect, the way I buy things is changing quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And my interests are changing too. Like lately I've been super into comics, like not just regular single issues, but omnibuses and absolute editions and things like that. And I get up in the morning when everyone's still sleeping, come in here with some coffee and read my book, you know? So like, I might play a game every now and then before work, but I mainly read, you know? So
that's where... And that's going to be another interesting topic. It'll be probably a topic for another episode, but we'll get into sort of how a bit more detail on how sort of our interests have changed and like adapted as we've got older. Cause like I say, not just with games, but with like, obviously like reading and like shows and stuff that I watched or did like a few years back has definitely like changed to now. And like with you, like you've transitioned a lot more towards comic books and such like. So
yeah, dude, I can't wait to talk about that. Like I said, things are changing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the next thing I want to talk about is what do you love, and like who or what kind of got you started with what you love?
So this is a great question for me, because like thinking back almost as like sort of as young as I can remember, I was playing games and like developing a love for characters and like franchises, like games and such. Like my earliest memories for me, obviously I'm a bit younger than you are, but my earliest memories come from PlayStation 1. That's kind of around like PlayStation 1 and Game Boy are the two like earliest like consoles I remember playing. My dad had a PS1 that was like modded so that it could play like pirated games, so we had like a ton of games, which don't condone piracy, but that's, you know, that's where we were at. And I remember playing like likes of stuff like Crash Bandicoot, Spyro on the PlayStation 1. I have a lot of fond memories playing Spyro. There was a Demolition Derby game. I can't remember for the life of me what it's called. I'd have to look it up. But it's essentially like you just had different like maps, different levels, and you just crash cars until one person was left standing. And it's like the simplest kind of game, but I have such fond memories from when I was a kid playing games like that. So like that's where, like, for me, where it started and where my love for games developed. Obviously, like the Game Boy as well, like Tetris, Pokemon, like very early Pokemon Blue, Pokemon Red, those sorts of games on the Game Boy. I remember playing Tetris on my dad's like original Game Boy, like black and white screen, like the big chunky thing, like sitting in the car playing Tetris. And that's where it sort of started out for me. And then I was always on the like the PlayStation side of things from those days, playing on the PlayStation 1. So when the PlayStation 2 came out, like it was all we wanted for Christmas. Like me and my brother got PS2 for like, it was a joint Christmas present, so we shared it. And like from then on, it was like games like Grand Theft Auto, sort of more Spyro and Crash Bandicoot. For me, as I was growing up, as getting into my teenage years, I got really into skateboarding, like, outside of gaming life. So, like, I'd pick up, like, the Tony Hawk's games on PlayStation.
All those things are amazing.
Tony Hawk and that kind of stuff, and just from there, kept going and going.
For me, it was my brother Mike. He was the one who really... My brothers in general, but it was my brother Mike. Like, I remember growing up, so my brothers are a little bit older than I am. So my brother Mike was 13 years older than me. My brother Joe is 11 years older than me. So late 50s, early 50s, you know, as of right now. I remember growing up, and I had a stepbrother, and they had a Sega Master System, and they would never let me play. So I would just have to sit there and watch them play, you know?
Yeah.
And then they had an Atari, and then my parents finally, after years, bought me an NES, a Nintendo, for Christmas. I can still remember that morning. And I think every Christmas after that was always something video game related. My parents bought me an N64, came with Banjo-Kazooie for Christmas one year. Then a couple Christmases later, I got a Dreamcast. It was a Black Sega Sports Edition Dreamcast. Another year down the line, I got my PSP. So it was always something gaming related, right?
Yeah.
So, it's just my brother Mike, like, he was living with us for a while. I remember at one point we had a Sega Genesis and a Super Nintendo. I remember going to school feeling like Mr. Big Shit, like, I got both. I feel like a badass, you know?
Feeling like that after Christmas when we got our PlayStation 2. I'm like, hell yeah.
And I remember one year when I was a lot younger, he bought me a Ninja Turtle. So I like toys and action figures, and I still have it.
I still have a lot of my Turtles toys from when I was younger. Because, yeah, outside of games, I was super, super into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I still am. I have, back home where I'm from in England, I still have all of my Ninja Turtles
toys. That's good. Gotta get your mom to send them out here, man.
Yeah.
Get a display case.
That's really cool. They're all packed up in storage at the moment, but
So it was my brother Mike. Like, he really, he's the one who got me started. Like, I lost my brother a few years ago, but even like in eulogizing, I told everyone he has a lot to do with the person I am today.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think if it wasn't for him, a lot of this stuff wouldn't be in here, you know?
Yeah.
And so, He's the man. He got me into it. Dave, gaming memories. What's your favorite gaming memory? If you can pick one or two.
So I actually do have a couple. So one's a much older one. And then one's a more recent one. So I've got a couple. One of my favorite gaming memories, way back in the day, talking, how old would I have been when this was thing? Probably like 10 or 11, so we're talking like a good like 17 years ago. I had PS2, and I got the game Sly Cooper. I had no idea about like Sly. I just saw the game. It looked cool. Turns out it was the third one in the series. I had no idea there were two previous games. But so I got a copy of Sly 3. I'm like, this looks cool, I want to play it. So I bought it. I played it a little bit, and like there's like six levels or something like that. There's this whole, like, each level is a different world, and it's quite a long story. But I played like the first level, I played it quite a bit. It was fun, but I didn't get that far in the game. But I loved it. And I didn't, like, I had no idea that it was, like, other than the three on the box, I had no idea about any of the other games in the series or anything. I'm just like, this is cool. And I ended up getting sick. So I was off school for a couple of weeks. I couldn't go into school. I'm like, you know what, I'm going to pick it up and play it again, because it was fun and I didn't really get that far in it. And that 2 weeks, I completed the game. And it was the first game that I, like, fully completed start to finish by myself, like without any help from my brother or anything. So like, it's always a fun memory of mine, even though I was sick and I was off school and like was having a rough time. Like, that was the first time I ever, like, completed a game myself. And to this day, I still love that game. I still haven't played the second or the first games. I've been meaning to, but I just don't have a console to play them on at the moment. But
you gotta remedy that, man.
Yeah, it's on the to-do list to fix, because I do want to go back and play the first and the second game. I've seen gameplay of both of them, like, I've looked it up, but I haven't actually played them myself. But that's one of my fondest memories, because, like, there's such a, like, I get such a, like, satisfaction out of completing a game. Even if it's, like, easy, hard, like, whatever, it just, there's something that feels really good about getting all the way through and completing a game. And that was the first time I ever fully completed a game, and I just felt so happy, even though I felt like crap because I was sick. Like, I just felt super happy. And being the age I was, like, I've gone back and played the game again as a, like, an adult, and it's not that difficult, but there were so many, like, levels in that game because I was younger, like, I just struggled with, and I, like, persisted, and I just got, like, a real sense of satisfaction, like, persisting through the difficult parts and completing the game. So, like, that's one of my fondest memories from back in the day. And then I do have, like, more recently, sort of within the last year, before I moved out here, I did do a replay through of the first Last of Us game. And I always wanted to complete it on the hardest difficulty. I suck at shooter games with controllers. So, like, when I had it on my PS4, I completed the game on just, like, normal, easy difficulty, whatever. But I never got through it on grounded mode, which is the hardest difficulty, because I just could not do it with a controller. When they released the remaster on PC, I could use a mouse and keyboard. I'm like, right, this is the time. I'm gonna do it. And I streamed it. So, like, I streamed my whole playthrough on grounded mode. And I must have died 250 times throughout that playthrough. Like, it was hard. But I completed it. And I just, like, again, like, the level of, like, satisfaction I felt, like, persisting through it, because it was really difficult. I don't usually play, like, super hard difficulty games. As I mentioned earlier, like, I avoid kind of like Dark Souls and such, like, because I'm not a super big fan of made, like, super hard difficulties. But with that game, it was just like I always really wanted to do, and I was, like, super happy when I got to the end of it, and I'm like, yeah, I completed it on the hardest difficulty. I did it. I died a million times, but, yeah. Like, yeah, it just felt, it was, like, such a good accomplishment. It felt so good. So that's, like, one of my more recent, like, really fond gaming memories.
Awesome, man. I think for me, two times stick out most to me in my life. My dad was never really into games or anything, but he'd play them, you know, going. So he would come home from work. He was a smoker and a drinker. So he'd make himself a screwdriver, grab his cigarettes, and come to my room, and we'd play RBI baseball on the NES, and that's all he would play. And I don't know if he really enjoyed it, but he didn't get to spend time with me, and he'd sit there and chain smoke and drink a screwdriver. Screwdriver is orange juice and vodka. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so I remember, so that was always, like, fun, even though he was smoking. Maybe that's why I ended up smoking later in life, because everyone around me was a smoker. And then the next big one that always sticks out to me is, was Thanksgiving Day. We'd always have Thanksgiving at my house, so my brothers would come over. And, my brother Joe got there first, and he's like, let's play games. I'm like, all right. It was right around Dreamcast time. And I had a, only thing I can't remember if it was NFL 2K or 2K1. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. And my brothers were always into sports games, like Madden and NFL and NBA and baseball and stuff like that. But I really wasn't. Yeah. But I had them in case they wanted to play. So my brother's like, let's play NFL. I'm like, all right. And he's whooping my ass. Like, it's the fourth quarter, and I'm down 40 points. Like, I'm not going to win. And then right around that time, my brother Mike shows up. He comes into my room, and he's like, what you guys playing? I'm like, NFL. He's like, here, take over for me. I'm like, he's like, all right. So I give him my controller, and within the, like, last 5 minutes of the game, he comes back and beats my brother, like, when I was down 40 points. Just fucking demolishes him, and I'll never forget that, because he was cheering, I was cheering, you know, and this was a really fond memory. And that kind of goes to a testament how good my My brother Mike was at sports games. He's just, yeah, those are my favorite moments, you know?
That's really awesome as well, because it's like, it highlights something that I really love about, like, gaming, is, like, you don't necessarily have to, like, on your own enjoy, like, the game. Like, I'm not a super big, sports game guy. But, like, when you play with other people, like, even something that you don't necessarily, like, enjoy yourself can be, like, a really fun experience. And then, obviously, for you as well, like, that memories of you and your brothers, like, all playing together. So, like, it's, I don't know, like, it's really awesome. I love those memories. I have a few memories of, like, playing games with my brother, and they're always, like, really fond in my mind. Because, like, it's just the time spent together. Like,
you don't
have to be playing something that, like, you absolutely die hard love to be having a good time with family or friends. Like, and that's the awesome thing about games, is like, they're such a power to bring people together. And like, two people can enjoy like one thing without necessarily having to individually enjoy it on your own.
Yeah, like I said, those things will just, they'll live forever, dude. And I look back on them fondly, and it makes me smile, you know, to remember my brother and stuff. So it was good stuff.
All right, Davey. Absolutely.
Davey Poo, next question, man. Might be a tough one. What's your favorite fandom?
Favorite fandom?
You don't have to pick just one.
Oh, that is a tough question. That is difficult. Do you have a favorite fandom?
I do. I have several. Like, I'm not going to pick just one. Like I mentioned earlier, I love Assassin's Creed. I love Resident Evil. I love Game of Thrones. It's probably up there quite a bit.
Yeah.
There's universe like the Shenmue universe. Ever heard of Shenmue?
Mm-hmm.
It originally came out in the Dreamcast. I love that game. I remember seeing a demo of that game over at the Windrock Mall here in Albuquerque. It was at a game store called Game Force,
mm-hmm.
and it was before the Dreamcast came out. And he had a demo running, and I remember going in there and just staring at that thing, and I knew I had to have it the day it came out.
Yeah.
And see what else. Those are the big ones, man. I love comics. I love Batman. I love Spider-Man and Spawn. Those are my big ones, you know. Mm-hmm. It's super hard to choose just one.
Yeah, it's difficult. That's what I say. Like, it's difficult to, like, give just, like, a favorite fandom, because, like, there's a lot. For me, like, the ones that come to mind, obviously I've mentioned a couple already, like The Last of Us, Sly Cooper. The other ones that really come to my mind for sort of up there with my favorites would be Zelda. Crazy.
How can I forget about Zelda? Jeez,
yeah. I was just looking over there at the cover, I'm like, oh yeah, Zelda.
Look around, you think I would have said that.
Yeah, Pokemon's a big one for me. I play a lot of Pokemon when I was younger, and have continued to do so, sort of as I grow up. I still do pick up the new Pokemon games when they come out, play through those. A lot of fond memories from when I was younger playing Pokemon games. So Pokemon's definitely up there. I had a couple that have now left my head. Like Mario and stuff, like a lot of Nintendo sort of fandom franchises, like I have a lot of appreciation and love for. I'm trying to think. What else? Oh, Game of Thrones is a good one. Game of Thrones is something that I tried to avoid for the longest time, and then when me and my wife got together, like, she kind of bugged me and was like, you should really watch it, it's good. And then I, like, started watching it, and then we didn't stop. And as you'll see as we go through the podcast, Game of Thrones is one of our, shared sort of loves. We both have
absolutely
a lot to talk about with
very
Game of Thrones.
Passionate and angry and happy, and a lot of mixed emotions about it.
The other one, like, the other fandom that comes to mind that I was thinking of, but my mind went blank a minute ago, is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I love Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
So we love so many different things. It's hard to
Yeah, that's the thing. There's so many
different... You can't
different...
pick just one, you know?
Yeah, it's impossible to... Oh, now I'm looking up there. I see the Bioshock. I love the Bioshock games.
I've never played the second one.
You haven't?
That's another issue we got to talk about.
We're going to have to talk about that.
I have the special, the collector's edition, and I've never opened it. And I bought that the day it came out. How many years ago was that? Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I don't even, without looking it up, I don't know off the top of my head, but it's been a while.
Exactly. Things are changing. That thing's still brand new.
Definitely got to get you playing Bioshock. Bioshock's good.
I have it on the Switch, too. I bought the Bioshock collection on the Switch.
Oh, you got the collection on
Switch. Yeah, so even if I decided to get rid of that one, like, I got it on the Switch. And I think they make it for, what, Xbox and PlayStation as well?
Yeah, it's on, can definitely get it on Xbox 360 and PS4. You can probably get it on, like Xbox One or the Series X.
Gotcha. I did play Bioshock Infinite. That one was really fun.
So I started with Bioshock Infinite.
Oh, okay.
Because I had a friend who had it, had a copy of it that I borrowed from them. I'm like, they're like, oh, Bioshock's great. You should give it a go. And I'd heard of it. I'd seen a little bit of Bioshock 2 gameplay because I had a friend, like, years ago. Like, I was at his house and he was just playing it. I'm like, what the hell is this? He's like, oh, it's Bioshock. And I didn't think anything of it. I ended up borrowing Bioshock Infinite and I played that all the way through. I did not put the game down. I'm like, this is awesome. And then I went back and played Bioshock 1 and 2. And then for a little while, I went, like, really deep down the rabbit hole of, like, Bioshock lore. And, looked into all that, and it's awesome. It's definitely, I hope they make another one, because I would really appreciate another.
That'd be cool to get in, like, a next-gen Bioshock.
I know they're planning on making a Netflix series.
I saw that.
Which I'm quite excited about. But yeah, a lot of love for the Bioshock series.
Like, the one thing that stands about Infinite to me is the Barbershop Quartet at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to show Shay that, like, look, they're singing this Beach Boy song, it's pretty badass, you know? Like,
yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely recommend when you get a chance, go back and play 1 and 2 if you haven't, because they're quite different to Infinite, but, like, they play similarly, but, like, the story is a little bit different. They're set in different places, you play as different characters, but they're really, really fun. And it's a good story to play through, too.
I started playing the first one. I don't think I ever finished it. I have severe ADD at times, too. Like, I start things and put them down and start something else.
Yeah.
And then I'll pick it back up. And then I forgot what I was doing, so I have to start all over again. So
yeah.
Like,
I have that problem with a lot of games. Like, I'll get stuck on something, put it down for like, months sometimes.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, I'll pick it back up. And I'm like, what the hell was I doing? Where was I going? Start again.
Exactly. Like, I'm like, do I want to start again? I'm like, yeah.
That's the question I always fight with. I'm like, how far in am I? Do I want to start over again just to figure out what's going on? Yeah.
Alrighty, Dave. So, top three, or even five, or maybe two for you, favorite games.
Games.
Yeah, games, man. Not TV, not movies. Games. Gotta be games this time.
Okay, so three or five favorite games. It's difficult to put, like, it's probably my number one. Like, I don't know, like, I don't necessarily, like, have a ranking for games, but, like, if there's a number one for me, it's Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. It's by far the game that I have the most hours in. I know the most about it. I got very into Breath of the Wild and then went very crazy down the, like, looking into all the different things, like, looking into, like, I went crazy on, like, the story, the lore, like, 100%ing the game, learning speedrunning tricks, like, glitches.
You went crazy.
Like, I went wild with Breath of the Wild. And a little bit more so with, like, Tears of the Kingdom, but not to the same extent. I really enjoyed Tears of the Kingdom, but it didn't quite hit the same as Breath of the Wild for me. So, like, as far as top games go, Breath of the Wild is definitely up the top for me. What else would I say would be my favorite games? Difficult. I need to think on this a little bit.
I think, man. Here, I'll jabber on for a few minutes. So, my favorite games, Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm 42 years old, but Minecraft is the open worldness. You can do the create whatever you want. You know, like, I have a map I put on a Realm server that I've been working on for over 10 years.
I remember
that. I think I showed you. Yeah. Did I show it to you?
I remember you mentioning it to me. I can't remember whether you showed me, but.
Yeah. So, yeah, I love Resident Evil 2 specifically because I spent a lot of time playing that game because for the longest time, that's the only game I had when I was a kid. My mom bought it for me for my birthday one year, and I beat it and over and over and over again. I got Tofu mode. I could beat that game with my eyes closed, no problem. Like, I knew everything about that game. Shenmue, of course. I love that game. I bought the HD remasters, like on the Xbox and PS4, and I played through 1 and 2 again before number 3 came out. I've yet to play 3, shame on me. Let's see here, what else? Resident Evil 4, I'm going to put that in the same box as Resident Evil 2.
Mm.
And once upon a time, I used to be top 10 in the world for quickest times to beat it on the 360. That's nice. With no cheats or anything like that. But then I was watching these videos of these glitches, and I went all the way down because people were just glitching it and glitching through entire areas and stuff. I'm like, oh.
I was going to say, the speedrunning side of games
mine was a legit
whole,
time, you know?
Whole nother world. Like, so while you were speaking, Risk of Rain 2 has been a game that, like, I would definitely consider up there in my top games. It's one of those like weird games that it's kind of a shooter based game that I still get a ton of enjoyment playing on my own, but I also have a friend that I play with regularly and always just have a blast of a time playing. It's a roguelike, and you build up level by level by level, and then when you die, you just reset and start over. I can just play it over and over. Like, they recently released a DLC for it, so new characters.
Oh, yeah?
And one of the new characters to unlock, an absolute pain in the ass to unlock, but I literally played, just run after run after run for about 4 or 5 days straight. Like, every day after I finish work, I'd be on Risk of Rain to unlock the character. And it sits at up there with my favorite games because of that reason. It was a difficult thing. Like, there was a challenge that was difficult, but I didn't, hate trying to complete it. Like, I wanted to go back. Like, oh, I didn't do it this time. I wanted to try again. And for me, that's one of the things that puts a game up there and as a favorite for me, is if it keeps me wanting to come back to play. Like, Risk of Rain, Breath of the Wild, they're both games that I could literally just go and start playing right now.
Yeah, probably, that's how I feel about Minecraft. Is it let's pick it up to start
making
game?
At any point of the day, it doesn't matter what I'm doing, what's going on. Like, if you stick a Switch in my hand with Breath of the Wild, I'll sit there and play it all day. And it's the same with Risk of Rain. Last of Us is probably up there with my top games as well. I've mentioned it quite a bit already in this episode, but as I enjoy the story, and I like the gameplay. It just, I played through it multiple times at this point. It's a game I just love coming back to. The second one, I also enjoyed, Last of Us Part 2, I enjoyed, but not as much as the first one. It's a good game, but it's not up there in my top for the second one. But first game, definitely.
Would you say the PC version is better, more your favorite than, say, the console version?
Yeah. The quality of life updates and just being able to use a mouse and keyboard for me, I really suck with controllers.
Made all the difference.
Yeah, it As we go through the podcast, and we like, especially as we get into like the details of games, what you'll find about me is like controls and like the way controls feel in a game is a big thing for me. It can be a big deal breaker for whether or not I continue playing a game. If I can't get used to the controls, or if I don't like the controls, or I can't adjust them. I'm really picky about that. So like, when they like ported Last of Us to like PC, and I could use, like, I could adjust everything, adjust my sensitivity, change my controls, map them, like, that made a world of difference to me. So I preferred the experience playing on PC to when I was playing on PS4. But both are like memorable and fond experiences for me.
Like with me, like I love RE2 so much. Like I played it on PlayStation, and the one I played the most was N64.
Mm-hmm.
How they fit both discs on one cartridge. A little grainy, but they did a really great job.
Yeah.
I had it on the Dreamcast at one point. I think that, in my opinion, is the best version, because you can look down on your VMU and see your health, and it was great. I played RE2 and 3 on Dreamcast. I played it on the GameCube. I played the remake on the Xbox, which isn't the greatest, but, you know, yeah, I think, yeah, Dreamcast is most definitely the best version of that game.
I do, like, that. I, like, do find it interesting how those small details make the difference as well, like, being able to see, like, something on your HUD or, like, certain control paths. Like, for me, it's, those can really make or break the experience playing a game. So, like, I'm always, like, interested, like, a lot of games, especially nowadays, are getting, like, remasters or, like remakes, and for me, it's really interesting to compare, like, the changes that they make, because generally speaking, they're improvements, like, with remasters, but I find it interesting, because there's, when I sit down to play a game, there's always stuff that I pick out that I'm like, oh, I'd like that to be slightly different, or
yeah.
I'd like to be able to do this, or move this a certain way, or whatever, so it's always interesting for me when I sit down and play, like, a remaster or a remake, I'm like, oh, what changes did they make? What improvements did they make? Did they add the thing that I wanted? Did they change it or make it so I can do what I want to do?
Like, it better be good, huh?
Yeah. I'm very picky about that. It's one of those things, like, it has put me off games. I didn't play a lot of Red Dead Redemption 2 for the longest time because some of the controls really bugged me. I did eventually go back and play it and, like, just sort of part with it, but, like, I got it on PS4 originally when I first played it, and there were just certain, like, control, like, parts of the control mapping scheme that just bugged me, and it, like, put me off playing the game for the longest time.
With that game, there's so much to do and so many things you carry on yourself, when the weapon wheel and, like, materials wheel, and it's like all these different wheels to get what you need, and
yeah,
there's definitely a learning curve to try and navigate, you know.
And that's why, like, it took me a while to get into it, because I'm like, if I can't access or, like, do things the way I want to do them, like,
yeah,
it does put me off. And, like, I'm terrible for it. Whenever I start playing a new game, like, the first thing I do is adjust my sensitivities, because, like, I'm very specific about my, like, look sensitivities, so like movement controls, and like if sensitivity is too high, I just, like, it puts me off the game completely. So, like, that's the first thing, like, I'll always load up a game, and the first thing I do before I even start is jump into a menu and, like, look at the control schemes, like control mapping, and specifically, like, mouse sensitivity. That's my like picky.
Nothing wrong with them, and you like games the way you like your games.
And that's the thing, it's like, at the end of the day, we play games to, like, relax, enjoy.
Exactly.
Not. So, like, I don't get enjoyment out of playing a game that I'm not, like, having fun with. Like, and if something's off, like, I'm not going to enjoy the game, so I just don't play it. And that defeats the whole object. So, I appreciate when game developers, like, add a lot of ability to change and adjust things, like, to how you like it.
Makes it nice.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Dave, I'm going to put you on the spot. This is a Q&A portion of it. Okay, but it's between each other, me and you. Ask me a question, dude. I'll make you go first.
Oh, God. Let me think.
Now I'm going to ask you questions, too.
That's fine. I'm happy to answer questions. Okay, here's a question for you. If you remember, what was the first game you bought with your own money?
First game I bought with my own money. I think the big one. My first job was working at Boston Market many, many years ago, before I even graduated from high school. I know, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it's definitely Dreamcast games or N64 games. Because there used to be they still exist, Noble Bookstore here in Albuquerque. Mm-hmm. There used to be one super close to my house, and I'd go up there with my paycheck and grab. I can't remember the exact game. Because I remember my brother for graduation bought me Ocarina of Time on the 64. So it had to have been other games. Oh, jeez. I
was going to say, I'm just thinking in my head, see if I can remember the first game that I bought. And I remember buying games like when I was younger, but I can't remember exactly like what the first game I bought with my own money was.
That's a great question.
Because I remember, like, obviously, similar to you, like Christmases and birthdays were always like, I'd end up getting like games or like something game related. So like a lot of the games I had when I was younger were bought for me. So it's like really tricky to remember like when I first had like my own money, like what was the first game that I bought?
I think the one that really stands out to me, like the first big game I bought was Halo 3, the Legendary Edition. Mm-hmm. I remember going to work and going to reserve it at GameStop and paying it off and then going to the midnight launch and bringing it home and playing it. I think I knew I'd purchased other games, but that's the one that stands out because it was super expensive for the time, you know.
I was gonna say you probably like saved a bunch of your paycheck.
Yeah, that was minimum wage back then when I was working, it was 5 1/4, you know.
Jeez.
Yeah, so I forgot how much it was, but it wasn't cheap. I might have the receipt in there. I haven't opened it in a few years, but it might be in there. I can probably tell you, but yeah, that's the one that sticks out to me the most. All right, I got one for you.
Yeah.
It's not gaming related.
That's fine.
What is the weirdest thing you have noticed about Americans so far?
The weirdest? Okay, so there's a few things.
You have them queued up. You're like, I didn't know these by heart.
I love this question because, like, it's actually a fantastic question because stuff here is so different from, like, it's hard to explain, but, like, there's so many things that are strangely different. So, like, the ones that come to my mind are everything being drive-through. Is like when we first went to like a drive-through ATM, kind of blew my mind. Like ATMs aren't particularly like, we have ATMs in the UK, but we don't have like drive up to an ATM, like has a separate lane to drive up.
Funny.
Like it's weird because like all of our ATMs are just in the wall outside of
Manx. Yeah.
And, like, where I'm from as well, like, our, like, cities and our towns, like, are very, like, walking friendly. And, like, Albuquerque isn't particularly, like, pedestrian friendly. So that was also something weird to adjust to. Like, I'm from a fairly small town where it's, like, I can walk pretty much anywhere in town in sort of 30 minutes. Whereas I then came to Albuquerque and I'm, like, if I walk for 30 minutes down the road, I don't really get very far. So, like, drive through everything. Drive through ATMs, like, blew my mind. And then a while back, we went to get, like, allowed to get an oil change. And we went to a drive through oil change. Like, we just drove in, parked up, and just sat in the car while they went under and did the oil change. And that blew my mind, because I have never experienced anything like it in my life. We don't have it. Like, we obviously, we get oil changes and whatnot, but, like, you take your car to the dealership, you leave your keys with them, you go off and do whatever and come back in an hour and they've done your oil change. Like, they put it up on the ramp, do the oil change and whatnot. But it was just such a weird experience. Like, I'm sat in a car while they're changing the oil, like, just underneath me. Like, so strange. It's like those little things, super weird to me. It's really cool, but it's just such a, like, a different experience to what I'm used to back home. Food's quite different. There's a lot of food that we have that you don't have here. I miss sausage rolls. For anyone who ends up watching this podcast in the UK and knows about sausage rolls, I miss sausage rolls so much.
Hey man, you gotta have your mom freeze you some and send
them
over.
Honestly. Not so much now, like, you guys have, like, you're accepting contactless payment more, like, in a lot of places, but when I first came here, not many places were accepting contactless, and it was really weird to me, because, like, America's, like, very, like, industrial, like, forward, like, you consider it, like, a major, like, country. I'm like, how do you not have contactless payment in most places? Like, in the UK, we've been using contactless payment for, like, the last 7 or 8 years. So, like, just tapping your card has been normal to me. And then I come here, not only do a lot of places, less so now, a lot of places do have contactless now. But when I first came, not many places did. But the weirdest experience I've had, like, since coming to America. The first time I came here, I was trying to pay for something in a store. It was when I was in Baltimore. I visited the first time I was ever here. And my, like, chip and PIN was, like, playing up. It wasn't having a, you know, UK card. I get that issue from time to time with my UK bank. And the lady's like, swipe your card. And I look at her, blank face.
Uh-huh.
Like, what? She's like, swipe your card, like, swipe it on the machine. I'm like, what do you mean swipe it? And, like, obviously cards have the magnetic strip that you can swipe. But we have not used, like, we have it on our cards. But we don't use it in the UK, and we haven't used it in the UK in the time that I've been alive. Like, I have never once swiped my card to, like, pay in the UK. So I was just staring at this lady completely, like, dumbfounded, like, what? You talking about? And then she ends up taking my card out of my hand, swiping it herself and handing it back to me, and, like, the payment went through. I'm like, you can still do that? And, like, I've had to do it a couple of times, like, while I've been here, like, since I moved here. But every time I have to swipe my card, it's such a surreal experience. I'm like, this is still a thing that people do, like, and it's still a fairly normal way to pay with your card here.
Yeah.
So, like, out of, like, there's a lot of differences, but, like, that's probably, like, the weirdest experience for me, like, since I moved out here compared to the UK. It's just so strange.
There used to be a place by our old house where you can drive through and get cigarettes. You didn't have to get out of your car, just 2 packs.
Man, back when I was a smoker, I would have loved that.
Yep,
not having to go into a store.
Oh, yeah, dude. I was super lazy. Man, I was going to go to drive through. Argument.
That would have been terrible for that.
You have another one for me?
Let me think. Okay, so, like, with the exception of Game of Thrones, because I know how much you love Game of Thrones, what would you say is sort of your favorite or, like, one of the best shows that you've watched recently?
Recently?
Yeah.
Or overall?
That's... Say overall, because I'm interested to see.
I really love, like, gangster shows, like mafia
stuff.
Okay. So Boardwalk Empire, I love that show. I made my wife watch it through the whole series through again, and she ended up liking it a lot. You know,
that's cool.
I love Sopranos, Narcos, like the Pablo Escobar and the Cali Cartel, all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I love that show. I love shows like that. Recently, what did we watch recently? There hasn't been, with the exception of, like, House of the Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
We like some of the scary shows on Netflix. Like, House on the Hunt. I can't remember exactly what it's called.
Haunting on Hill House?
Yeah, there's like that series. Those are pretty good.
Yes, but I know which one you mean.
This house is a horror movie house. We love horror movies, you know. Me and my wife, that's probably our main genre to go to, you know. When we watch something, let's watch something scary, you know.
My wife loves horror movies.
Oh, it's good to hear.
I don't.
I really love like shows like that. That's why I was asking, Narcos is so amazing.
Narcos, I'm definitely gonna take a look at Narcos soon. It's been on my like watch list. I keep seeing it there. I'm like, oh, I need to watch that. And then,
yeah, Boardwalk Empire is about like Prohibition era gangsters in Atlantic City back in like the 20s and 30s. Yeah, it's really good. It's got what's his face, ugly dude, Steve Buscemi.
Okay.
He plays the main protagonist in that show. Yeah, and that's I think his first like big starring role. He does such a good job. You'll recognize quite a few English fellows in there too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What else? There's a show called Entourage. Okay. It was on HBO. It was about like this young actors in Hollywood and the shenanigans they get in. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a Netflix gangster show with Steven Van Zandt, who was in The Sopranos. Sorry, the chihuahua was making noises. Called Lilyhammer. It's about this gangster witness protection that moves to Sweden, Lilyhammer, Sweden.
Okay.
And he like kind of runs shit out there. Yeah.
That sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a fun show. It didn't last more than I think 3 or 4 seasons, but it was really cool. Yeah, stuff like that, man.
That's cool. Interesting.
I have a question for you. We'll do 2 questions a piece. I don't have to put you on the spot, but I do have a quick observation for you.
Mm-hmm.
Last time you were here, we were talking about the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something I think on the daily that makes me smile and kind of laugh, is when your mom called you and you answered, and all you hear is, hello, and on the other end. I think about that shit every fucking
That's awesome.
Day. And it makes me laugh.
That's so cool.
It just makes me chuckle and smile. Like most English-British thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
I was going to say, I get that reaction a lot from Americans when I start talking. Like, oh my
God. Not even from you, just from your mom, other end. Yeah. You know, I was like, that's hilarious, you know?
That's great. I love that. I actually told my mom about that. I was speaking to her, because I called her the next day. While I was here, my mom called, and I'm like, yeah, I can't really talk now. I'm kind of a little bit busy. And she's like, okay. So like, I called her back. I'm like, yeah, like, I'm really sorry. We were at once. Like, it's like, you should have seen it. Like, one was like sat there in the chair across the room, like heard your voice and just starts cracking up. Like,
dude, it makes me smile. It really does. It's freaking hilarious, dude. All right, question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're now here in the States full time.
Yeah.
And I've known your wife for quite a while now. Mm-hmm. I think we're getting on probably 8 or 9 years.
It's gonna be about that. It's
been a while. And I've known her since before you were around.
Yeah.
When she started bringing you around us, like me and my wife and stuff like that, how nervous were you?
Oh, exceptionally. Like, to begin with. That's actually a really awesome question to bring up, because I think about this quite a lot.
What I think of is, I'm not exactly, like, how do you describe me to someone like you? Like, I have no filter, I have no, like, I don't care about a lot of different things, you know, so I just kind of say what I want, even around my wife.
Yeah, and that's kind of, like, how, like, my wife described you as, like, he's a huge guy, like, he, like, says what he's thinking, says what he feels, like, doesn't really have any kind of filter, like, don't worry, like, he is a bit intimidating, but, like, he's also kind of a big teddy bear. I'm like, okay, like, so that puts me a little bit at ease, but, like, I was also, like, I'd never met you or your wife, like, so I'm like, there's 2 new people, obviously, like, my wife knows you both, she worked with both of you, but I'm like, I'm just this random guy from across the sea, but like, no one really knows anything about. My wife's like just bringing me along, and I get to meet you. And the first time I met you was, I believe it was your birthday.
Yes, because she was bringing you to birthday parties.
Yes, because like I was visiting, and you had hit her up and said, like, we're going to.
Was it Longhorn Steakhouse?
It was Longhorn.
Oh, we took you shooting the next day, didn't we?
Yeah. So I'll get to that in a minute. That's why I love telling this story. But so like I'm like, I've never been to Longhorn. Like, it's a steakhouse, that's fine. Like, I like steak, I like food's not a problem. But I'm like, it's your birthday, so like I'm like, not only am I gonna meet you, but like there's gonna be other people there, and like I don't know anyone, so that's gonna be interesting. Like, it'll be fine, it's cool. Like, Heather was like, don't worry, it'll all be good. And we turned up, and it was fantastic. Like, I met you, like, I was very nervous to begin with, but, like, all of my nerves kind of just disappeared.
Oh, good.
Very quickly, like, when I realized that you weren't just some scary, terrifying person, you're just super down to earth. But, I have such fond memories of that, because I felt terrible when I left, because... That whole evening, obviously, Corey and
Maddie.
Yeah, they were there. And then it was obviously you and Shay, me and Heather. And, like, I was the British person that no one's met. So, like, the whole evening, everyone was, like, talking to me, asking me questions and whatnot. And I remember saying to Heather, like, feel terrible, like, it's Juan's birthday, and like literally the whole evening everyone was just bombarding me with questions, and like I don't, like, I love talking about it, like, especially like being British, being in America, like Americans tend to have tons of questions, like it's super easy to make conversation, which, like, if I can sit there and like talk about myself, like, that's fine, it like set everything at ease. But I'm like, I hope like Juan doesn't think I just came in and like stole his birthday away.
Side story about that night. I don't drink, like, at all. I only drink every once in a while or on special occasions. I got really fucked up that night. Because Corey was buying me beers and stuff. I was just giant margaritas and beers and stuff. I almost got sick on the way home.
Jeez.
Like, in the car, I told Shay this, like, don't hit me. Fuck. Like, I was going to... And she's laughing at me the entire time. Because she doesn't get that way, but I do, because I never drink.
Yeah.
And to top it off, when we got home... Sandor was still a puppy, a very giant puppy, but a puppy. He had been inside all day because we went from shooting straight to the restaurant and we didn't get home till late.
Yeah.
So poor guy, of course, he went inside the house. There was shit everywhere. Oh. I am plastered, like, going to throw up, trying to clean up, like, liquid dog poop, you know? I'm like,
that's the worst.
And
then
the first time you come to America, we're showing you our new guns out the back of Shay's car. Like, hey, welcome to America. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go shoot at some shit, you know?
Yeah, but see, that was the other part. Is like, I had, like, such a fun evening, and, like, it was super fun to, like, talk to you guys and have, like, you ask all these questions about the UK and, like, what's different and, like, all that stuff. It was, like, super awesome. And then you're like, oh, let's go shooting tomorrow. I'm like, cool, I just met these people. They're awesome, and they're inviting me to go shooting, like...
Oh, Corey came out too. He brought the big guns too, right? Yeah.
So we went out, like, we met up the next day and went out, and like, it's honestly, I love thinking about it, because it's like, it was just such a, like, a great experience. Like, I did feel bad, like, I didn't, like, mean to roll into your birthday and steal the show, but it's awesome, because I'm like, I had a great time, like. Everyone was super nice, like, there was nothing to worry about. It was super cool to meet you, and sort of everyone else. And then we went out the next day, like, we went shooting, which was great fun.
Was that your first time shooting a weapon?
I've shot, like, air rifles and stuff before, back in England. Like, we only really do air rifles.
Gotcha.
So it was my first time, like, shooting real guns, like, so, like, that was an experience as well, like, my first proper time, like, shooting, like, actual real guns. And, like, yeah, it was just super awesome that, like, out of just, like, that night and the next day, like, from then onwards, I kind of just, like, felt the friendship, like, fall into place, like, and so, yeah, I went from, like, the start of that night being, like, kind of worried, like, oh, I hope they like me. I hope, like, I don't, like, tip.
Oh, we love you around here, dude. Blah, blah. You and your wife are always welcome, bro.
And then, like, from that to, like, this is, I now have a friend here. Like, I have a great friend here. And
that's good, dude.
Obviously, like, we continue to meet up, hang out, like, every time I visited, and now I'm here, and we're doing the podcast.
I think of your wife as, like, a sister, right? Like, mm-hmm. just a good friend, sister, and as long as she's happy, you're always welcome on book, dude. It turns out you're a great guy, and you make her happy, so.
I do my best.
You do a good job, man.
I try. But, yeah, no, it's awesome for me as well as, like, obviously I moved out here to be with my wife, so I don't really know anyone here.
Yeah.
Beyond her and, like, a couple of select people. So, which is also, like, why doing this, doing the podcast is, like, really cool. And I was, like, super stoked when you mentioned it as an idea, because I'm, like, it's a fun experience, but also it gives me an excuse to hang out with, like, with you.
Absolutely.
Not that, like, I need an excuse, but, like, you know, life's busy, like, shit happens. But, like, at least regularly, I get to hang out and spend some time with one of the few people that I know here. That's so cool. Like, it's awesome. I'm real stoked about it.
Our weeks are pretty busy too, man. Like, Monday is karate night for the boy. Mm-hmm. Tuesday, the boy has after school activities. Then he takes swim lessons. And then when my wife makes it back home, she has class in the evenings. Mm-hmm. Wednesday's free. Thursdays is karate night again. Fridays, and it's also class night for the wife. Fridays is free too, but that's usually McDonald's night for the kids. Mm-hmm. We don't eat that crap anymore, so we get to go to McDonald's for the kids. And then the weekends are usually, oh man, grocery shopping and doing things for the house. And, yeah, laundries and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, I always find the weekends are like have a busy week, and then the weekends are just spent like clearing up and sorting out all the stuff I didn't have time to do in the week. But
yeah, like karate and stuff is all the way up in your guys' neck of the woods.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So we live all the way down here, and that's in like rush hour traffic, you know, so we got to leave here early just to make sure we get there in plenty of time. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, it must be a nightmare to get over, because you travel all the way over to our side of town, like, in the rush hour traffic.
Yeah, forget it. Like, Shay's all about taking Paseo. But, like, I won't touch it. I won't touch it in the mornings. I won't touch it at that time because it's backed up all the way past, like, the car dealerships. I'm like,
I was going to say, like, Heather takes Paseo to and from work. And, like, when she leaves work, see all of the traffic backed up trying to get to Rio Rancho. Like, no. Just.
I'd rather drive all the way down the Coors to the freeway and just take I-40 all the way up. But especially in the mornings, because sometimes I'll take my daughter with me to my mom's in the morning because I have to go teach a class. Mm-hmm. And the class starts at 8:30. So I'll leave here by 6:30 in the morning to make it to my mom's by 7:15-ish, drop my daughter off, and then leave there to make it to my office in time to get set up for class. Because the last thing I hate is being rushed.
Mm-hmm.
Like getting there, I'm like, oh, gotta go, just
quick, get everything.
Yep, I need to print out my lesson plan. I need to print out assignment, all other stuff, and just have time, sip on my coffee. I don't like to be rushed,
Yeah.
So I can leave here at 7, but it's a real push. Like,
mm-hmm.
I gotta hustle. There's no diddle daddling, Like, I gotta get through traffic,
Yeah.
But if I leave here at 6:30, traffic's not horribly crazy. I can chill. I can just get there safe and
do everything in easy time.
That's it, man. That's pod number one.
That is.
We just have to do it. Get it started. Start talking.
Let's say, once we got going,
Yeah, dude. How long was that? Do you know?
I don't know. Let's see. 1 hour 13.
Hell yeah.
Not bad.
Good shit, dude.
Woo!
Yeah.
Awesome.
Next time.